people much more like Harry Harley of Coventry Gate and Tool in the engineering industry proper, Alfred Herbert, those sort of people were more paternalistic even than John Black, and rather more resistant to trade unionism, although Alfred Herbert's were members of the Engineering Employers Association. They really resented any sort of interference from trade unionism, and for years they ensured for them the right to negotiate peace work not with the workers' representatives but with government, with the company appointed charjans or gangers. Initially, incidentally, they fought even to arbitration during the compulsory arbitration period. So that was Alfred Herbert's, much more fossilized, if you like. Harley's company, the Gauge and Tool Company, was non-federated, and they resisted strongly the idea of trade unionism. So much so, I managed to organize one of the highly sensitive departments, such the standards room, the standards department, and which were all highly skilled men in Maine. And when I sought a meeting with him, eventually he agreed to meet me, not with shop stewards present, he didn't recognize shop stewards then. He agreed to meet me, and his first demand was, how did I have the information about this? How had it come that I'd met these men? And when I started to talk about the wages and conditions, he said I was in possession of highly secret information and he was going to have me arrested. He had a revolver on the table and held me up at gunpoint. I had another colleague there, by the way, an old official named Nelson, who wasn't too sure what was happening. It was something out of this world for him. And I said, well, okay, don't send for the police, send for the National Service Officer. You say it's a protected establishment. And he said, well, I bloody well will. And when I explained that the National Service Officer was the manager of the local labour exchange, he was a bit surprised. But he said, yes, he'd send for him before any further talk. And he sent for this chap who was the manager of the local labour exchange. And we had to wait while he came. He came up in a taxi. And, of course, when he came, he said, well, of course, it's quite normal for Mr. Jones and trade union officials generally to have to deal with wages and conditions of people employed in highly secret work. That's their job, the trade union representatives. So we established a position then. But the point is that up to that time, and of course even beyond, there was a very highly paternalistic sense, a protective sense, on the part of that company, and of course quite a number of smaller companies. They didn't like trade unions, they didn't want to deal with them, and they just wanted to deal with their work people as they thought they should.